The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus. iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DraftKings Network. There's a way to start the show right there.
Yeah, you might be in for another gross show today. All right.
Oh, no, I'm cool. Just a moment there. On the show today, football. Matt Brown will join us here momentarily to talk all things NFL, all his plays. I got my plays coming up here in a few minutes that I will share. This is one of these weeks where, unlike last week where I was kind of behind all the lines, ahead of all of them from guessing lines this week.
There you go.
If you tune into guessing lines. So it's a good week in terms of that. Now, whether that will translate to cashing at the window, who knows? But we'll get into that momentarily. Kelly's got his. Dr. Bob will join us. National championship thoughts from Dr. Bob as well on the show today. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. That's always fun. We'll do all that. Before we get to my picks, Kelly, may I just ask you about the NBA? The NBA had a doubleheader last night, and it could not have gone better as a showcase for the league. We'll start with the nightcap first. The nightcap, Nikola Jokic with a 39-foot buzzer beater to push for some who had the Warriors +3, which is the worst push ever. And if you had the Warriors on the money line, my condolences to you. The Warriors were up, what was it, 16 with 5 minutes to go in this game?
Yeah, 18 at one point, I think.
18 at one point. But it was
like 18 with like 6 minutes left or something.
Yeah. They win. The Nuggets win 130 to 127, despite 30 from Steph, 24 from Clay, and they get it done. I had a thought, by the way, at the end of the third quarter, the Warriors, I believe, were up 13, and I had a thought in my head. I was like, can they blow this? Of course, I didn't bet it. And then I didn't think that halfway through the fourth quarter, right? That thought had been purged. And somehow the Nuggets get it done. Aaron Gordon's great down the stretch. That was the nightcap. The first game, and I want to ask you about some betting implications here. The Spurs and the Bucks, and the Bucks end out outlasting the Spurs 125 to 121 because the Spurs are in Pistons territory in terms of their record. But Giannis, 44, 14, and 7 in 39 minutes of play. And more interestingly, from our standpoint, Wembanyama, 27, 9, and 5 blocks in 26 minutes of play. In a game that was filled with highlight reels of both players, Wembanyama making blocks on one end. There was one sequence where he made a block and then he hit a three late. There was another one where he threw the ball off the backboard, caught it, and jammed it. A third one where he went around his back. The one where he went around his back and jammed it.
That was incredible.
Was so incredible because you can't even see him dunk it. It's
right,
so quick.
Yes.
I suppose if the rim was just above my eye level, you wouldn't see me do it either. But
I had to rewind it three times to make sure he dunked it like I thought he dunked it. Because I was like, oh, maybe, you know, he's so long.
He's so long.
I'm like, maybe he just like dropped it in. Like he didn't even dunk it, just dropped it in because he moves so fast. Or I was like, did Brooke Lopez block it in? Like I thought that for a second too.
Brooke Lopez looks like a small forward next to him.
I know.
Playing that. Anyway, my question to you becomes, you know, because we talked about, I think it was earlier this week, even maybe it was late last week with JVT, how Chet Holmgren has become the favorite in the NBA Rookie of the Year market. Did we go a little too far with Chet Holmgren here? Because you can get Wembanyama at plus money. Do you really feel like if there's any vague quality at the end of the NBA season that Wembanyama will not get this? I get it. If Holmgren wins it, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that's one thing. But if there's any kind of doubt, all things equal-ish, doesn't Wembanyama get this?
No, because I think if all things equal-ish, does that mean you're talking about one team that's going to be in the playoffs and probably a top six seed in the West?
Does that matter for Rookie of the Year in the NBA?
It should, in my opinion.
Does it ever?
I don't know that it does. I don't know that it will. I hear you. But it should. I mean, the fact that he's been a key contributor, I mean, you could argue that he's been the second best player on the Oklahoma City Thunder while they've been one of the best teams in the NBA. It should. But it should.
What I will give you is they probably should win a few more games. If you're the Spurs.
Five wins right now? Like, come on.
You can't suck.
And Wemby on, I'm sorry, but Wemby on TV and Wemby versus other megastars is becoming a thing. You're not seeing those kind of Wembanyama highlights on a Tuesday night when they're playing against the Grizzlies, right? Like, you're seeing that when they're playing against the Bucks and their crappy defense, that's for sure. But when Giannis is on the other side, and it's very clear that both of those guys got something they want to kind of say to the other guy with their basketball game, right?
The other one is Wembanyama. Wembanyama is short plus money, and Chet Holmgren is just south of $2. But the other one is Defensive Player of the Year. Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Like, real quick, I don't hate the bet. I think if you're in the mindset now of, hey, this is it, I'm sure this is down to two guys, and there is enough time left in the NBA season that I can scoop up plus money prices on either side. Yeah, I think there's a good chance that you see at some point in the next month or whatever, Wembanyama leap over Chet and become the favorite again. That's completely possible. So I think if you have that mindset, sure, go away, go to town.
Not to diminish Chet Holmgren in any way, he was having a fantastic season. And then appropriately priced for Defensive Player of the Year at 18-1. Shouldn't be any shorter than that, right? He's about the fourth player in that market.
Yeah, I mean, and that's another one that I think you could make an argument for Chet too. It's incredible that you have both these rookies that are playing that level of defense, playing that level of defense that well. It's been incredible what both these guys are doing. I think it's still Chet Rookie of the Year for me. I have my eye on this because I haven't bet into Chet yet. We talked about that like a couple weeks ago. There was enough reaction in the market last night to bring that price down to a point where I might be jumping in.
Jumping in on
Chet.
On Chet. Yeah. Okay. NFL week 18. These are the plays that I have made. These are the bets that I have made. These are in the account already, and I will just say this in terms of the Megapod, Kelly, the Beating the Book Megapod, where our guest yesterday was Brad Feinberg from NBC Sports Philly. He did a great job on the show yesterday. 34-16-1 is my record, and I haven't done the research in terms of going through the annals of Megapod history, which extends back more than a decade, but I'm going to guess that if I go 2-1 or 3-0 here, it's an all-time record for anybody on the show ever. And nice. If that's the case, I'm trying to set this as high as possible for it never to be broken. Because 37-16-1 would be something.
Yeah, that's pretty damn good. That's pretty damn good.
And I'll just say this again. And even then, like, if you translate the 34-16-1 percentage to the circa millions, I wouldn't win.
Wouldn't even come close. Like, I don't want to make you feel bad, but like, as a bystander,
it's incredible.
That's been my favorite part, right? Yeah. Because a lot of us talk about that. I don't know a lot of us that have gone back and actually looked at the documentation of like, hey, it feels like my first three picks are always safe.
Oh.
And then 4, 5, and definitely 5. Who the hell knows?
This is the point that I've been trying to make.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want to go 3 deep, apparently I'm your guy. If you want to go 5 deep, get away from me because I can't even get to 60% on it. So here are the 4 bets that I have in the account, and these will be no surprise to folks who listen to Guessing Lines on Monday. I bet these within 24 hours of Guessing Lines, and I got the best of most. Now, the Bears I did buy to the 3.5 as a bet at -133. I, like most people, Aaron Schatz was on the show this week. He was talking about weighted DVOA and how the Bears are 7th in weighted DVOA. I talked about this. If it ever got to 3.5, I was going to jump on it. I got the feeling with the juice that it wasn't going to, so I bought it. Bears +3.5 against the Packers at Green Bay, a game that Green Bay wins, and they are in the postseason. Again, that's the thing with Week 18. Just because you're in a must-win situation, or the Dr. Bob line, if you're in a must-win situation, must not mean that you're, what was the line? If you're in a must-win, oh, you must not be that good. By the way, I say that to Bobby, goes, that's not exactly what I say. I go, no, it sounds better when you say it that way. So the Packers giving 3 in this ball game right now, consensus. But I have the Bears +3.5 at -133. Now, these were all at the standard lines at the time. Raiders were -2.5. I guessed Raiders -4 on Guessing Lines. The Raiders have done nothing to dissuade me or to make me feel bad about this play. They've only encouraged this for me because you got guys like Devontae Adams who have been out there saying, we want Antonio Pierce to be our coach. And I feel like they're a better football team than the Broncos. Anyway, I've been down on the Broncos while most have tried desperately to make them a thing here in the Sean Payton era. And I like the Raiders -2.5 here in Las Vegas. That's a play for me. I just feel like they're the better football team. I think they're going to actually roll in this game. That's my hunch on it. And then the other ones, one is Saturday, one is Sunday night, the bookend games, if you will, of this week 18. I grabbed the Ravens plus +4 in this ball game. Again, the Steelers, not a 100% sacred must-win situation, because there are scenarios where the Steelers actually lose and can still weasel their way into the postseason. But I like the Ravens plus +4. I knew it wasn't going to be Lamar Jackson, but it's sort of this Malcolm Gladwell blink thing with me, where you just can't assume that the team that has something to play for and the team that does not, that the team that does not is going to lay down. We saw an RG3 Ravens game in this situation in 2019 where the Ravens performed well. I think they perform well enough to cover here as well. And I think Steelers backers ought to beware on this Saturday game. I think the Ravens, first of all, if the Ravens did have something to play for, what's the line in this game, as Will Hill was talking about yesterday?
Oh, gosh. I mean,
11 points different, right. 12 points different.
I was like, well, Ravens minus 11 may be high, but no, 11 point difference. Yes, probably.
So I got the Ravens plus +4 in that one. And then the line that I couldn't understand at all was the Sunday night game. When Wyatt told me this was Bills minus -3, even factoring in all the Dolphins injuries, and they have been a lot lately, of course, with Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips being knocked out for the year, Xavier Howard as well on that list. But I was like, Dolphins plus, I'll take the Dolphins plus +3. You're giving me the full +3 on this? I guess Dolphins minus -2.5, even with the injuries. So to me, this line was just crazy. So those are the four bets that I have. We'll find out what Kelly's are later. We'll find out what Matt Brown's are on the other side. He joins us, the co-host of The Handle here, 7 p.m. Eastern weekdays, and of course the All Angles podcast. That's next. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Looking a bit smarter? Then VSiN has the perfect holiday gift for you. Sign up on our holiday special today. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through May 1st for only $79. Sign up today. Get unlimited access to daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, premium analysis, and 24/7 video, plus all our betting guides and best bets for all college bowl games, the Super Bowl, and March Madness. Don't miss out on this limited time holiday offer, though. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up on our holiday special now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. I say smarter because there could be a nor'easter in Foxborough this weekend. Check the weather with that game and the Baltimore game tomorrow, which we'll get in here momentarily. First, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Pat Moran, great story about your dad taking you to Skins games on the Megapod. So true, I laughed out loud. Oh, let's talk about my dad saying, isn't this better at home with a sandwich? Brandon Fear, love the pod, Gil. Agreed to everything on the Justin Fields thing. One thing, though, I think you'll enjoy this take. I think the Bears should trade back one spot, get May, and Washington gets Williams. Bears get more picks and trade Fields. Bears don't want a prima donna at quarterback, building an even nastier defense. That's what they should do. Probably not a popular take, but I think it makes sense. This is from Scott Cupp. Hey, Gil, I have a Joe Flacco bet 50-1 comeback player of the year. Should I lay minus -140 on Hamlin for a hedge or just ride it out? And when do they give out these awards? They give out the awards February 8th. And yes, I think you should take some DeMar Hamlin. And then this is let's do these first. Prime time Cowboys.
I like these easier hedge questions. It's not even a true hedge, but sometimes we get these questions and you're like,
multi-dimensional chess ones. Yeah. Primetime Cowboys _ Cubs one. I'm sorry. This is a tribute to Kelly starting his cold takes. I'm sorry, but wishing you a happy new year for the last time of 2024. But let me be the first to wish you and Kelly the happiest of birthdays, whenever they may be. Am I crazy, or do you both look like marshmallows? And John Balducci, great pod. Can we get a weekly Megapod update of the result of Todd Wishnev random in-game hoops bet, talking about the one that 98.8% of the pod audience will hear 5 hours after the game ends? Yes, we will. And Bobby Geddes, one of my four rules of betting is don't triple down on live NBA. So, of course, I live bet the Nuggets 4 times last night, and it was the luckiest cover of all time. Always got to remember the lucky ones, too. And this is from Todd, TYA558. Matt, you and I both got this morning. Matt Brown joins us, ladies and gentlemen, the co-host of The Handle weekend, 7 p.m., which he does with Mike Somich here on the network, and of course the All Angles podcast, which he does 3 times a week. And I'm told by Matt last week that once the football season ends, it becomes the no Angles podcast.
No angles. We didn't have any angles. We've had no angles so far this week because no Thursday. We've had no angles so far.
The angles are falling.
Yes.
So Todd, TYA558 said, let's talk millions on the show today, boys, asking for a friend. So I said to him, I go, are you in this? And you said to me, he is.
He is very in this.
What place is he in?
Let's just say in the big time cash area. Yes. I don't know if he wants us to review that, but that was that was the DM part of it. Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
but he's
in it.
Big time.
Big time.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, shout out before we answer his question. Shout out to Matt Humans again. Matt Humans is first and third in the Millions Quarterly. I happen to know the guy who's in second. And so Humans first and third, I would imagine Humans has to go the strategy of whatever he's been doing has been doing great. So pick his five handicap wise. And he's got to go Oppo on the other one, right?
Yeah, probably. I mean, he's got to mix it up somehow, right? Like you've got two there to play with.
Because if you go 5-0 on ideally 5-0 on the top one, but even if you go 5-0 on the number three one, you're going to be in good shape. 5-0 or 4-1. The worst case scenario for him doing that is 2-3 on top and 3-2 in the third, I guess. And that's tough for a guy like, I would imagine, I don't speak for Matt, but for a guy like Humans who does it by his own handicapping acumen, to sort of punt on the second entry might be difficult for him, but you got to play it that way, right? Because if I'm the second place dude that I know, that's what I would hate for him to do. But anyway, your guy.
Yeah.
Do you have some Millions advice on him? This is season long we're talking.
Yeah, this is season long. So in the position he's in, it's the do you play keep away and you are guessing what the most popular picks are for the week.
Right.
And you are just trying to stay in line because you don't think that there's a way to catch up. Or I don't know the financial situation, so I don't know if it's like the I'm going to go wacky and try to win this thing or not. So there's obviously two different, completely different angles to go about it. I mean, me personally, I have tried to guess what the most popular picks are every week.
It's not a great skill set for me either.
Yeah. I have done that because I was in this weird position where I was sitting in that low 300s, right?
Are you in there now?
But it's done so now. Like I'm.
If you went 5-0, you might cash.
I don't think I'd have to make up 200 spots.
But if you go 5-0, you might make up 200.
Maybe. But the last 2 weeks, I've been trying to do the. All right, I think these are going to be popular, so I'm going to play the other side. And no, like it's horrible. It's a horrible exercise for me.
Oh yeah, I can't do it.
Like I am very bad at trying to figure out what picks people like and which picks they don't.
I'm not good. I mean, and there was the one where I started one of the quarterlies at 0-5. We talked about this yesterday with Kelly. Who's like, now you should go for the booby. I'm like, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a different. It's a whole different mindset. I'm like, okay. I like these, but does everybody else like these or whatever? And I'm going to go this way. I'm going to go that way.
So to your point then about this guy, and again, if he's in it, he's obviously, if he has that choice, obviously he's high enough where he's got to think about, do I continue and just take the ones that I think most people will take? We talked about a little with Crack yesterday. Crack is at 100 first. So right on the cusp.
So he's right. Yeah, he's there for sure.
Right on the cusp of being of cashing as well. 178th, I think was his other one. But so what is your best guess? Let's play that through. If you were to guess what the most popular picks are, let's start with tomorrow's games. Is Pittsburgh going to be one of the most popular picks because they're in a, again, not sacred must win, but nearly must win situation, and Baltimore has nothing to play for? or is it the Princess Bride thing, right? Which we were talking about with Kelly, which is like, you think that I'm going to put in the poison in that cup. So then he does like this whole psychology thing.
Well, one thing that has at least rung true throughout the course of the contest season, which is line moves do tend to make the picks more popular, right? Because I do that show with Derek and Jeff every week. And like one thing that we have noticed is sharp guys doesn't matter, average Joes doesn't matter, and everywhere in between, they will look, and if there's some sort of line move, you can almost always at least star those games, right? And
it's the Fezzik Crack Randy McKay way.
Yeah, yeah, and you just go in, and you're like, people will blindly play those no matter what. So in this situation, if you were trying to zig or other people zag, now that this thing is down to where it, you would play the Steelers,
you
right?
Would. Yeah, by you, that, that's
you would,
right.
You would play the Steelers because you would think that the majority of the people would be on the Ravens there at the plus four. Now that we're down to three with all that, then you get in the conspiracy theory stuff, which is like, do the Ravens want to lose this game because it increases the chance that the Bills don't make the playoffs? And so,
I've heard people throw that around. I do not think these teams think it through that far.
I do not think that they would think it through that far either. And if you also look at the Ravens, I mean, if we want to like really try to take like third level math with all of this stuff, and the Ravens in their preseason, they win every preseason game. Mm-hmm. This is basically going to be their preseason lineup out there. Go out there, and obviously they play very well together, and obviously their game plan, even with backups, is still very, very good. So you have a Ravens team that put out was on the field all preseason, just continuing to win games like they do every single year, and it's going to be those same guys that are going to be out there. Is there any reason for us to believe that they're not going to put up a good effort? You know, there's that as well.
I think he's got the Tyler Huntley free agency angle too, and him talking about trying to put on a show or whatever this weekend. So you got that going for you too.
I think TYA558, Todd, as he calls himself here, if that is your real name, I think what we're saying is you shouldn't get advice from us on this. You've done quite well yourself all the way to this. But I'm sure you, Todd, I'm sure he has thought through all of this stuff as well, which is depending on where he is, right? Yeah. If he's in third place versus 30th place. Mm-hmm. There's a difference.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think
he's way closer to the former than the latter.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yes.
So I think you opt for the what are most people going to take? Yep. Let me try to be as conservative as possible.
Since I only, and I think you guys have talked about this all season long, since I only really have conviction on probably three of these each week or three or four of these each week, I would probably play the three that I liked, and then the other two I'd play keep away. That's probably what I would do.
Now, I said that if he's in third, he should probably play it more conservative. But if he's within a striking distance of one, let's say, right, that's a different story too, because you're going for the real pot. Then you do have to get a little frisky with a couple of the picks if that's your aim, which it should be. So it really depends on circumstance. That goes into it too. There is no perfect answer.
There's no perfect answer. Yeah. And we were just talking off air in the last break too, of like, you know, okay, a week ago, I was plotting out, okay, maybe am I still in this? I got to go like 10-0, 9-1. Matt, you were saying the same thing. There's part of my brain that's so glad I went like 2-3 last week and I'm out of this, because I have no idea what five sides I'd be picking.
Well, that's the second place person in the quarterly who's wedged in between the two humans place. He was like, well, you know, what should I do? I was like, you should just probably play what you play.
Yeah.
Because humans is going to do his thing. You just do what's got you this far. More with Matt Brown. His picks next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every NFL or bowl game? We didn't really get that, Kelly. The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. We're always improving our betting splits and recently added soccer betting splits from around the globe, like this one right here.
Nah, I don't have one queued today. I'm sorry, man. I let you down.
Oh, boy.
Scrambling with that producer thing today.
I got to do everything around here. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Check them out. All of today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com/splits. We get tweets at Beating the Book, Uncle_Bush. Since Kelly loves hedge talk so much, I have Carolina lowest scoring team and Tua most passing yards. Oh, no. Here we go. Do I go alt team total unders New England Giants, Carolina, and alt pass yard overs on Dak and Goff? Oh, my God. My head's exploding. Since these were bets aided and abetted by a numbers game and friends, as a fiduciary, I feel like y'all are obligated to help. My head didn't even make it through that tweet.
I wasn't even able to listen. It was having a fine conversation with Dakota.
We're going to have to take some time.
Okay.
Oh,
send it my way. Maybe I'll try to figure it out, figure something out during Jason's segment.
Okay, what did you call the weather thing? What did you call it?
Like a fire tornado or something.
All right.
There's crazy weather ones.
Jay Buckley, he nailed what I was thinking of. Bomb cyclone. That's what you were thinking
of. I never even heard of that one. Yeah, I got snap called on that. We got a few tweets with bomb cyclone. Is I've never it? Heard that one.
Oh, yeah, bomb cyclone. That's what I was thinking you meant. He said weather stuff. Happy Friday, boys. Yeah, you too. Jerry Bone knows. He says, rumor has it the Patriots are dealing with the flu, multiple players and coaches. And then parentheses, he puts, if not true, this tweet never happened and will self-destruct. Sean Higgs also says bomb cyclone. Screaming A. Smith says bomb cyclone, greatest weather term ever. Blue Hen Bill says thunder snow.
Oh, thunder snow. I've heard that one.
That's
before.
The one. Yeah. How about this one?
I'm right. There's a fire tornado. It's called a fire whirl.
Shay H. says this one. He goes, and he's showing me a report from Lincoln, Nebraska, where they say it appears we will be dry slotted here in Lincoln, Nebraska. This will drastically reduce our snowfall totals. Shay says dry slotted has made me laugh for over 10 years.
I don't understand what that means.
Apparently they're not getting slow. They're dry slotted. So there's like snow surrounding.
No
them.
Snow?
Snow. We're dry slotted.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's how I took it. I'm just making that up. Steven at Brosec 1870 says, I listened to the Megapod for the first time and can't believe Kelly got forgotten in the first 5 minutes. You know what it was? We said that Brad Feinberg was the first-time guest of the year. And I was like, oh, no, Kelly was last week. Eddie Vegan Runner, Witherspoon, 70-1 at DK. 70-1. And Sports Savant, VSiN's official place kicker, Matt Brown, uses a ZBeck monitor attachment. Get that man a sponsorship. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it or not, but there
sponsor.
You go. Ladies and gentlemen, he's a pioneer in sports prediction, using predictive algorithms, modeling to get to his results. He did it for the first time when he was a student at Cal years ago. He graces us with his presence now from somewhere outside of Denver, Colorado. It's the great Dr. Bob. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing fine, guys. How are you?
Doing very well. Did we wake you up? We apologize if we did.
Yeah, I'm a bit under the weather, so I got up early for my college basketball release, which is really early. And then I'm going to go back to bed. And then I had my ringer off or something. So I just, my wife came screaming, and you're on the radio.
We heard her voice. Please tell her what's up. By the way, did you want to share a college basketball play with us that you picked, that you released?
No, I didn't have any.
Oh, you
so
didn't
I had to get
have
up
any.
Early to say to send out a message saying no plays today.
Oh wow, always working, even when there's nothing to work on. All right, well let me ask you about this before we get to your thoughts on the national championship. So week 18, like you don't like anything this week? You're staying away from it?
No, I have a few plays. I took Atlanta earlier in the week when they were +3.5. A small play on Atlanta, just situationally good spot for them. New Orleans coming off a upset win. Atlanta kind of, I don't bet a lot of games based on situations, but this is kind of the highest rated kind of situational play, and those have done really well over the years. So I did a small play on Atlanta, and that's it.
Okay. All right.
I might have a couple other plays, smaller, strong opinions or something later in the week, but
well,
not much.
Let's talk about the national championship. Michigan, 4.5-point favorite against Washington on Monday night from Houston, Texas. What are your thoughts here?
Well, this is just a case of, people were sort of downplaying Washington and, wow, they just win a lot of close games and et cetera, et cetera. But, a big part of that team was missing for most of your Jalen McMillan, the wide receiver, was maybe considered the best of the wide receivers coming into the season. The first 3 weeks of the season, Washington was averaging over 9 yards per play. I mean, it's just ridiculous. McMillan gets hurt, so he's out from week 4 through 12. He played a couple times, tried to play a couple times, had a couple of targets, one in one game, one in another game, and he just wasn't able to go. He kind of came back not quite fully healthy against Washington State and had like 5 bubble screens thrown to him and didn't work out. But then he was fully healthy against Oregon, and he had, I think, 13 targets, 11 catches, 130-something yards. And now you've got a problem for defenses because now you've got 3 NFL caliber receivers on a college team at the same time, and you can't cover all of them. And Oregon, Penix was great against Oregon. You saw him against Texas, great again. And you have all these 3 great receivers. It just makes it impossible to double team anybody. And the fourth receiver, Jeremy Bernard, is actually good too. I mean, he averages 10 yards a target. And what it did is we get the fifth receiver, his name is Giles Jackson. He played a lot when McMillan was out. He only averaged 5.3 yards per target. So now you get a guy who's not productive at all, not even in the rotation anymore. You got three NFL caliber receivers, a fourth receiver that's really good. And now you have a full arsenal of receivers that cannot be covered. I don't care how good your defense is. Texas has a very good defense, and they could not. Even when they would put even when Texas had the receivers covered, Michael Penix is so accurate with the deep ball.
Amazing.
He was throwing balls over the helmet of receivers into the arms of, over the helmet of defenders into the arms of his receivers. When a guy is that accurate, and he was the most accurate deep ball thrower in the country this year, when someone's that accurate, it almost doesn't matter how good the defense is, how tightly those receivers are covered. He's going to drop it in there. And you saw multiple passes against Texas where he's just dropping dimes, just perfectly thrown passes down the field to his receivers. So if they are covered, they can still get beat, and it's hard to cover all three of them. And Alabama's got a good pass game, but here's the difference. You saw Michigan's pass rush against Alabama, and they sacked Milroe six times. But sacking Milroe is completely different than getting to Penix. Milroe gave a 44 sacks, and he got sacked 44 times in the season. So he gets sacked a lot to begin with. Well, Washington's offensive line won the Joe Moore Award, the best offensive line in the country award. Penix has only been sacked 10 times the entire season. So if you're expecting to get to Penix, you're not. I mean, the most times he was sacked in any one game was two. You might get two sacks. Michigan might get two sacks. But it's not going to be like the Alabama game where they're just in the backfield all night. So if Penix has time to throw, which he always has, and he's got three great receivers, I just think it's going to be one of those games where maybe you won't be able to run, but they don't care. Throw the ball more. If Washington throws the ball more, they're even more dangerous. So I think Washington's offense is going to do just fine in this game. And on the other side of the coin, you got Washington. I hear a lot about Washington's pass defense. I heard on the broadcast, they ranked 117th in pass defense this year. We had yards allowed, but teams threw it 42 pass attempts per game against Washington because they were always down. You know, and if you think about how many times teams have to throw against Washington, and how many of those guys were elite quarterbacks in the Pac-12 throwing against Washington? When you look at Washington and compensate their pass defense, yards per pass play, by who they faced, they're actually a very good pass defense, about 1.3 yards per pass play better than an average pass defense. So Washington has a very strong pass defense. The run defense is only 0.4 yards per running play better than average. So that is their weakness. And that sort of helps them here because Michigan will say, well, we'll just run the ball. Well, great, run the ball. I mean, I don't think you're going to beat Washington by just running the ball. And people get all fired up about Michigan's run game. Oh, those guys are so good, and Corum and Edwards. If you looked at their stats, Corum and Edwards combined averaged 4.3 yards per run for the season. 4.3, that's not good. So, fine, run the ball. An average of 4.3 yards per run. Michigan's going to have to throw it more. And if they do throw it more, I think they'll have some success doing that because McCarthy's underrated. He doesn't have to throw, but when he does, he's very efficient. But if they stick to this run, we're just going to run because that's what we do, Washington might win this game straight up. When it comes down to it, I have Michigan by 1.5 points, total of 55.5. So I have a lean. I'm not betting the game. I have a lean with Washington plus.
Yeah, but I think there's a lot of... Wouldn't be surprised if they won it outright. Yeah,
right.
It's I think a lot of people are going to hear that and be very swayed by what you said. And that's such a great point about conventional stats that are thrown out on a mainstream broadcast versus what is actual truth, what is actual skill set. Bob, thank you so much. You can go back taking a nap now. Thank you.
All right, guys, have a good one.
Dr. Bob at DrBobSports on Twitter, drbobsports.com. Jason Weingart next.